Bow your heads, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts, thankful for this opportunity to hear your word. My prayer, Heavenly Father, is that everyone here seated be able to receive your word, Father God. Lord, whatever heart issues they have, whatever bitterness, unforgiveness, things that are hindering your word from going forth, I thank you that they would have the courage to release that now. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for a life-transforming word today. I pray that people will look back on today's day and say, that is when a turnaround began in my life. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Let all who agree with that pray, say, amen. Amen. Repeat after me, please. Say, I will worship. I will connect. I will be equipped. And I will serve. So our sermon series for this month, the month of June, is double. Say double. And our passage is Psalms 115, verse 14, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. It's on your handout, and it says this: may the Lord give you increase more and more. Not just more, more and more. My cup runneth over, okay? Increase you more and more. My God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. More and more. You and not just you. You and your children. God is generational. He's generational. He's generational. We're going to touch on that in just a second. For you to participate with God in that process of passing on all that he has for you and onto your children. Amen? But I have a question for you for today's message. Why aren't more Christians experiencing real prosperity in the marketplace? There's only a few of us called to full-time ministry. Just a few people. Most of you are called to go into all the world. It doesn't always mean Africa and Brazil and the deep jungles of the Amazon and winning some indigenous group to Christ, and that does. But for most of you, the marketplace is the world. Our school districts right now, that's a whole nother world. The stuff they're teaching our children. It's like, good Jesus. Seriously, people? That's a whole nother world. Hollywood. It's a serious world. It's a serious world. Even sports, that's a world. Our government, that's a world. And many of you are called to go because you got gifts and talents. You're called to that world. You are. And then some of you guys that are called to business. And I mean this. Okay, here's the thing too. Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation. Say no condemnation. Now see, here's the thing. Today, I don't want anybody to be condemned. No one be condemned. No one feeling condemned. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not doing that at all. I really, really want, but I want transformation. I was with a young man yesterday, Pastor Jason Lozano. He preached his heart out at the men's conference. Thank you, fellas, for we all traveled down to San Ana. Give the fellas a hand, amen. There was a whole slew of us down there representing. Amen. So thank you, Minister Tim and Elder, putting that together. And Maliki always comes to second service. So thank you guys for jumping that and on top of that and organizing that. But Pastor Jason mentioned something yesterday, and it really blessed me. It really did, about how a lot of people, we just come to church to be encouraged. Amen. And we don't move past being encouraged. Nothing wrong with that, because you need some hope. You know, encourage people with these words, exhort them with these words, and comfort them. Okay, that's scripture. But when do we begin to move from I'm just coming to feel good to I'm coming to be good? Many of us, we never get there. And often it's because of something in our hearts. So today's title is Level Up. Level Up. And we're talking about double, so today is Level Up. Now, Proverbs 22:29 says this: do you see a man diligent and skillful in his business? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. I want the best for you. I really do. And I got 3 points here I really want to bring home today. Again, look at Proverbs 22:29. This is an amplified version, and it says this: do you see a man diligent and skillful in his business? What is your business? Is it, Pastor, I don't have a business. I have a job. That's your business. Amen. Because the word business right there means occupation, career, work, or business. So what is it you're called to do? What do you put your hands to Monday through Friday? So let's read that again with that understanding. Do you see a man that's diligent and skillful in his career? Diligent and skillful in his occupation. Diligent and skillful in his business. He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. I said, well, why does that matter? The king is the one that makes decisions. You need to sit at the table. You need to be heard. You have ideas. But often because we're not diligent and skillful, we get overlooked. And then you get angry. Turn your hand out over, please. The three things we're going to work on. But first, I got a question. A little different from last week. How can I increase my inner capacity to fully house the anointing that God has for me in my life? How can I increase my inner capacity? Take a peek at your handout and make a note if you need to. How can you increase your inner capacity to house the anointing that God has for me? If you have an RV, you know, the big motorhome, and you have a regular garage, that RV cannot fit in a garage. You don't need a bigger garage. Now, the RV represents the anointing of God. And they can stay on the street, or you can get a bigger garage to pull it in. Think about it for a moment. And God wants to bless us so much, but often we're too small to receive all that he has for us. So my garage is big. Okay, well, you probably got a big garage, but you've probably got a lot of stuff in your garage too. And your unwillingness to release a lot of your stuff, because you can't have the RV and the stuff. And you hold on to the stuff because it's safety to you. Because you know, if I be nice to people or I forgive someone, then they might get over on me again. Or they might think there's weakness. Or they might, you got all these beliefs. And so what if they do it again? They did it again. I've learned to choose where I put value. And I don't put value on offense. I don't. And I've had to learn that. And the more I've emptied myself of everything that's not of God, the more of God I get. And as I shared with you guys last week when I gave that hour-long presentation out of everything I'm doing. You guys are funny. This week, everybody that called me said something. I know you're busy. I was hesitant to even show that last week. But you guys matter to me. Amen. But here's my point. You know, in 2004, Bishop Ed Smith taught a message, and it's so appropriate because it's Father's Day. And he was Pastor Ed then. And we had handouts too, and we get there, and his sermon was God's Plan for You Requires a Father. One, the title, that's kind of lame. That's not exciting. You know, in marketing, that's not a sexy title. It's not going to grab anybody's attention. God's Plan for You Requires a Father. I mean, seriously, what are you talking about? And so literally, you know, as he started the message, I'm like, no, you missed it, bro, because I've been without my dad for a long time, and I'm good. I got a house. We had a house in Chino Hills, new house. It was nice. Had off the second floor bedroom, we had a deck and all that. We had deck chairs out there. We'd sit out there and look at the stars and just, yeah, I was fine at the end of a cul-de-sac. You know, we'd gone to Hawaii. I've been on a cruise, a couple of cruises. I don't need my daddy. He crazy anyway. Sick of craziness in my life. Sick of that. And I sat there, and he got started, and I tuned him out. And then the thing was, about three or four people got up and walked out of service. So made it through that sermon, came back next Sunday. You know, he was still on that. I said, I'm like, you know, my mind went to the game. You know, I started thinking about, you know, I forgot who was playing at that time. My mind just left. Oh, no, I ain't receiving this. It's just, no, you know. And then I began to think, that's just because he got daddy issues. You know, his father. You know, he working through some stuff. You know, he's up there preaching himself into it. Okay, let him. Give him space. Church is over. Hang out with my friends. See the fellas. What's up? Yeah, hey, yeah, good. Third Sunday. By now, I didn't have enough. It's like, I ain't coming next Sunday. But something broke. And that was the Sunday, literally, I traced back to the beginning, really, of our turnaround in our life. A couple of things I'd done before that. 1999, I finally decided, just let my wife be her. She tripping anyway, whatever. Quit fighting a fight. Ugh, sick of her. 2000 was pretty good. That was the first step. But then later on, I realized when I forgave my father and I mean this with all sincerity. We walked out of church that day, and for the first time, the sky was blue. I didn't know. I saw the sky in a color I'd never seen it before. So I'm going to tell you something. That stress, bitterness, anger, hatred, and all that kind of stuff, you hold on to it, it jacks you up physically. And you don't even know it because you've been walking around with it for so long. And I was like, oh, my God. The other thing, too, is that was such a risk for me. Because Pops, he was still a piece of work. Don't get me wrong. He was still a piece of work. Then I got a prophetic word from a lady on the East Coast, just kind of random deal. Called me one day and just about my father. And I had to make a decision. Am I going to walk in forgiveness? Am I going to really be a real Christian? Let that settle in. Because if I'm going to be Christ-like, that means I'm going to have to forgive. And some of y'all, you still holding on to stuff? You still mad? And let me tell you how you know you're holding on to stuff. And I mentioned this last week. And I mentioned it doing Bible studies and small group and everything else. If you, some of you guys, 4th of July, you're going to be cooking. Cookouts, barbecues, grills, in South Africa, a braai. Okay, and so got the grill rolling. You take a piece of meat and you throw it on a grill. And it goes, psst, right? If the meat jumps off the grill, is not dead. And you can tell what you're not dead to because when somebody says something, you go, where's Sister Carolyn Lust? She here? Sister Carolyn here? No, you know, Sister Carolyn said, why are you always doing this? Don't the man do stuff too? <You know? laughs> All right. Now, here's the thing. I love you, Sister Carolyn. And everybody else. But everyone that felt that, see, that you dead. I mean, you still ain't dead to that, see? Right there. You jumped off the grill. Pastor Tony say something, you jumping off. It's an area you need to be healed in. Just like with me and Pastor Ed. I needed to be healed over my father. I carried that. But once I took him out, got rid of him, more of God could come in. See, some of y'all got a belief right now. He don't know what I've been through. I don't need to know what you've been through. I'm just going to trust God. Amen. Pastor, you don't know who I live with. True? I'm just going to trust God. Jackie had to trust God a lot. What was that? You still trusting God? Still holding on to the promises. Holding on to God's unchanging hand. But seriously, if you really want to double, if you really want to go to the next level, and often even at your job, you're not performing at your capacity or at your ability because you still got the heart issues. It's funny. Not funny, it's sad. And we're Christians. And I wonder why we're not prospering more. You're asking God for more, but you can't even house more. And I just think about it for a moment. And it's really because of pain and hurt. And hurt. Been so hurt. Some of y'all been hurt by churches. The other pastors hurt you. That's why some of you don't trust me now. He's talking about that mission stuff. What are you doing over there in Africa? Okay. It's the word of God. Just because it's not your denomination, it's the word of God. And in fact, your denomination wasn't around when Jesus was around anyway. Amen. You got to work on your skill and your heart. You got to empty yourself of all pride, insecurity, bitterness, stubbornness. You know the scripture says stubbornness is idolatry? I've learned to be quick to forgive. 90% of the time, this is sad, but it's the truth. 90% of the time when me and Jackie are arguing, I think I'm right. And I'll still say I'm sorry. Because the Bible says to seek peace. As much as lies within you, seek peace. Live at peace with all men. I quit trying to be right. I quit trying to be heard. And just because she wins an argument doesn't mean I lose. I don't know how you frame it. Let's talk about two other things. Okay, number one, the practical. Please turn to Proverbs 27. We're going to read verses 23 through 27. Now, this is your responsibility, because the other thing is that often we're praying to God, God, hook me up. God, bless me. God, give me your grace. God, I need your favor, 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 favor. And, you know, and I get it. And that's good. But then you got to be responsible, too. And here it is in the Word of God. So Proverbs chapter 27, we're going to read verses 23 through 27. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, okay? And it says, verse 23, know the state of your flocks. Whose flocks? Yours. What are your flocks? What is your business? What is your responsibility? What are the things, what are your duties in your particular department? You need to know the state of them and put your heart into caring for your herds. Put your heart into it. See, often we'll go to work. I know I did this. When I worked at the Anaheim Library, I told you I didn't like that book when I was sick of it. And I made a statement one time. And I said, if they want they got my body, but if they want my mind, I need another 10 grand a year. And then somebody went and told my supervisor. She came to me too. She confronted me. She's like, Tony, I need your brain. I want your brain. And really, brain is synonymous with my heart. My heart went in it. It was just a duty. Because as soon as 6 o'clock came around, I was the first one out that building. First one out the parking lot. Work started at 9. I get there 8:58. Now, I'm not going to be late, but I sure ain't going to be early. According to Pastor Todd, though, then I was late, because Pastor Todd got a rule for the praise team that if you're early, you're on time. And if you're on time, you're late. What was that? That's true. Everybody said that except the praise team. Today. Lisa said today. Okay. Let's get some consistency in there, right? Amen. Know the state of your flocks and put your heart into caring for your herds. Watch this. I was talking about generations right here. Verse 24. For riches don't last forever. And the crown might not be passed to the next generation. That means there's some responsibility. What are you leaving your children? And then please leave them something. You know, we have a generation before us, and it was very difficult for them. You know, Miriam just lost her mom. We just did her mom's service on Friday. April right now just buried her mom back in outside of Pittsburgh yesterday. And there were some difficulties with that. I understand that generation and some of the things they were faced with, and it was just more difficult for them. But for us, we need to leave our kids something. If you got to go spend $20 a month for a term life insurance policy to get a $200,000, please do that. So when you die, and you're going to die, leave your kids something. Please. We are able to do that now. It was difficult. I know it, okay? I know it. You sad, but this is something when my dad was alive, when we reconciled and we were doing good, I made sure that policy stayed paid. And it was time to bury him. We hooked him up. He went out in style. And people, other pastors in Louisiana, were committing me. You sent your dad out right. You sent your daddy out right. You sent your dad out right. No, daddy paid that policy. I'm very practical. And I look at practicality here. And so it's not cold. I cared. I was the one who helped put everything on, took care of my mom and my brother, so I wasn't cold hearted. But sometimes you just got to be practical. I pray and I'm practical. Because sometimes we just unrealistic. We just, Lord, just bless me. Just Father, I'm just sitting. Send somebody through the door. No, get up and go outside the door. Yeah. Sitting on a dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Everything else is rolling away too. Verse 25. After the hay is harvested, there's some harvesting that needs to happen. There's some work that needs to be done. We got to put in the work. And the new crop appears, and the mountain grasses are gathered in. That means there's some work to be done. And most of us are not farmers right now, but and this is an agrarian society, but the principle is the same. Verse 26, watch this. You've done everything you're supposed to do. Look at 26. Your sheep will provide wool for clothing. And your goats will provide the price of a field. You sell your goats now, you got money, now you can go buy something else. 27, and you will have enough goat's milk for yourself, your family, and your serving girls. So if you handle your business right, everything will be in order. And so often we're talking, we just sit expecting God just to pour out stuff. And if we haven't taken care of the little we have, come on, we do it with our kids. Think about it for a moment. Well, some of y'all keep buying and letting them do whatever. Okay, cool, you do that. But for most of us, if our kids are not taking care of the little, we're not going to give them much anything else. Think about it. We're not. So then why do we expect differently from God? So let's steward well that which we've been given. Let's do that. And then he'll trust us with more. Because if we're faithful in the little, we'll be trusted with the... When we're faithful in that which is another man's, we'll be trusted with our own. Many of you are trying to start your own business, but you were so crappy at somebody else's. And you wonder why you're getting such crappy employees. Because you reap what you sow. We told you it's a generational curse. Break the curse. We've been redeemed. People talking about the curse. There ain't no curse in them. No, that's it. No. I'm a child of the Most High God. Nothing can come on me unless I open up the door and allow it. No. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Victory is mine. It's through Christ. Think about it for a moment. Oh, I'm going to step into this. But I need to go to work. I need to go to work. Pastor Tony, you're always working. What was the very first thing God told Adam? Subdue the earth. Put him in a garden. Tend it. Tend. Take care of it. Think about it for a moment. But many of us, we don't want to do that. Okay, cool. You chill. I'm not mad at you. But here's the thing. He's going to come back. He's going to say, what did you do with the gifts, talents, time, opportunities, relationships, everything I gave you? And then one guy with five said, here's my 10. He's going to say, good and well done, my faithful servant. You want me 2, 4? I've said this for I don't know how many Sundays. Y'all know this. But the guy with one, he said, I was afraid. That's why I said you got to empty yourself of everything that's not of God. See, he was so full of fear, he wouldn't move. Fear stagnates. You fear of people getting mad at you. You fear about what people are going to say about you. You worried about all that fear stagnates and you won't move. That's why the enemy comes on and puts so much fear on you. That's the best way to steal your faith. Faith and fear, they don't go together. See, if you're full of fear, where's your faith? And you're full of faith, you don't have space for fear. And what are you fearing anyway? Think about it for a moment. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid? Well, they say it. Well, they say it. Well, they say it. Or they going to say. Or they going to think. Who is they? I'm not worried about people. I'm worried about God. And the problem is sometimes we just too much of us. Just too much of us. My daddy, it was too much of him. He was a focus driven, and he was just too driven, too focused. He was just too mean. He was mean. Just mean. Then I had a mama that's just too nice. Let everybody just walk over and do everything and just put him in. It's like, no, you went too far, mama. Daddy, you went too far. And many of us, we go too far with who we are. Stop. You don't have to give everybody a piece of your mind. You don't have to curse. They just made me so mad. No, you don't have to be that way. And then the flip side, too, you guys that are just super sweet and super kind, y'all need to get a little backbone. Stand up. It's okay to confront. Tell somebody, I really don't like the way you said that to me. Pastor, I don't know about that. Jesus said that. Matthew 18:15. Read it. Just made a decision a long time ago. I'm going to live by the word of God. I'm not living by my feelings. I'm not living by my experiences. I'm not living by the stuff my daddy did to me anymore. Finish with that. I'm not doing that anymore. No. Turn, please, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please. Look at verse 6, and it's on your handout. You know, Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and it adds no sorrow. I want to make a declaration. Let me finish the whole thing. I want to be rich. Let me finish it. I want to be rich. Let me explain that to you, okay? Because, see, you got your perspective of rich. Let me tell you what mine is so we'll be clear, okay? Because your rich is going on Rodeo Drive and having a Bugatti and a Bentley and all that, okay? That ain't my rich. My rich is living where I am without any debt, house paid off. That's my rich. And my rich is to be able to fund things I want to fund. I weekly get calls, and Elder Joyce is funny. Because we get requests all the time for orphanages, churches, people all over the world. Now, what a lot of people do, they would just go through Facebook, find missional churches, and then contact them. And 99% of what we get hit with, I can't do anything about. But I would love to be able to do that. The blessing of the Lord makes us rich and has no sorrow. Now, here's the thing. You working hard, you got your money, but you got sorrow. I want my richness without the sorrow. So if I get God's richness, wake up, everybody, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Everybody stand up for a second. Just stand up, please. Just stand up. Read Romans. It's called the spirit of slumber. Say, uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. It's called the spirit of slumber. And right now I start talking about this. Everybody gets sleepy. Uh-huh. But if I was sitting and said, you're going to be a millionaire. Everybody excited. God's blessing about to fall on us. Hallelujah. Everybody be up running and jumping. Okay, you can be seated, please. Just want you to wake up. That's all. That's all. That's all. That's all. I've been watching. Because see, I've been at this a long time. And I've been watching church after many churches. And most people are just broke, busted, disgusted, fighting, just nasty, just and it's just, and you're sensitive and you're offended and like, praise the Lord. Mm-mm. You guys in 2 Corinthians 9, look at verse 6 to 15. Third thing I want to cover real quick. This is about sowing. Many times we don't sow, and we're talking money. Say money. Money. We're talking money right now, okay? Some of you are like, well, I'm sowing my time. Okay, it's your time and your money. Now, a first-time guest, please forgive me. Money is not something I often talk about, okay? I'm not driven by money, anything like that, but I just really want to get some understanding. I want you to be blessed, amen? Verse 6, and Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, telling them about raising an offering for the people in Jerusalem, because in Jerusalem they was having a hard time. It was a famine and in poverty, economy, it's sinking, all that good stuff, okay? Verse 6, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. Now, you wonder why you're not moving to the next level, why you're not leveling up, like you're not going to that next level, or why you're not having double. Maybe because you're not planting enough seeds. It's simple. Look at your harvest, direct indication of your sowing. But the one who plants generously, say generously, generous, will get a generous crop. Verse 7, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives how? Generally. And how many offerings do we receive here at New Day?
One.
Somebody said, praise God. You know, but you know, we had to do what we had to do. Back in the day, that you would get up and walk around. Because let me tell you something. Studies show this. If y'all get up and bring the offering, because see, you're worried about what people are going to think.
Right.
Offerings go up by 20% when you walk. little secret pastors know, okay? Yeah. I'm just going to trust you're going to be mature enough to give, whether somebody's looking or not, because ultimately God sees. Verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. Oh, hold up. Oh, look at that. Let me go, what did verse 7 say then? Let me go back. Oh, I missed that. Okay. You must each decide where? That's what the issue is. The heart issues again. Because some of you think you're giving to me. No, you're not. Give into the kingdom. Elder Kelvin, I've had the same salary since 2010. 9 years. Y'all go 9 years without a raise, a cost of living, anything. Now you say, wow, poor pastor. No, poor pastor. I didn't ask for anything. And at times I've been offered, I've been good. So it's not about that. You see, the church has increased in size. I just want you to see it's not about you. I just need to do a whole message on, okay, one day. Okay, let's keep going. Just so we'll get some understanding. I don't want to get stuck there. Verse 8, and God will provide, will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Verse 9, as the scriptures say, they share freely and give how?
Generous.
To who?
The poor.
I told you I want to do more of that. You say, well, we're poor. No, you're not. No, you're not. I live in an apartment. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. Yes. I don't have one in 5-bedroom house like everybody in Eastville. That's fine. Little boy, young man grabbed me and another guy, William Langley. We're down in Sao Paulo, Brazil. 22 million people. A lot of favelas. It's just poverty everywhere. Grabbed me, and in Portuguese, and we got a translator. He walked us and walked us, Lord, a mile and a half. He wanted us to show us his house. He was so proud. We walked into that house, one room, four kids and his wife, and he was sitting in one room, and he was so proud. He had a house for his family. And me and William prayed over the kids. We told him we're so proud of him. And not one of you here would live there. He was happy. Give generously to the poor. I'm sorry, verse 8. Going back to verse 8. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Verse 9. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give how? To the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. So every time you give into the poor, God remembers. I want to go to the next level. It starts with my giving. Verse 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. That's the problem. We get that confused because some of us are eating our seed. Some of us are driving our seed. Some of us are living in our seed. You got to learn the difference. You help me, Jesus. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. He's going to increase my resources. And one of the things I do for the church, going back to that whole salary thing, because the less expenses we have, the more we can give. And percentage-wise, we outgive every church that I know of in Corona, I know that. I'm not in competition with anybody else, but when I set out, I started out to be missional, and I've maintained that no matter what has happened. When we were a year old, and where's Yvonne? We were taking a class Perspectives. Remember, we had an assignment. So we checked with all the churches of Corona to see what their giving was percentage-wise. And most were at like 1% going outside the doors, even the big ones. And I think at the time we were at like 18%. We didn't even have a building. I've seen the need out there. And I appreciate all you guys. And, you know, but me and Jackie are good. And we understand. It's not all a humility thing. It's just we just got a different emphasis, different focus. You got other churches. I was at just Bishop Noel Jones Church, big, beautiful church building. I've preached at Harvest. I've preached at West End. I've been all over. Hallelujah. That's great. I just know what my assignment. Amen. Okay? Amen. I'm standing in my lane. Amen. I'm not competing with anybody. I'm my course. I'm clear on my mandate. Amen? Amen. Let's finish this. Verse 11. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. Two good things. And these are the believers in Jerusalem or Africa or Brazil will be met or wherever. And they will joyfully express their thanks to God. 13, as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. Listen to this. As a result of your ministry. This is your ministry. You are to give, and that's part of your ministry. So you go to the marketplace, make good money, and you give. You're blessed to be a blessing. That's the whole deal. And the more you increase, the more you can bless others. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So we can be a blessing tangibly. It's one thing, you know, just to say, go over there and lay hands on some kids and pray over them. It's a whole other thing to give them some food and some clothes. Yeah. This particular trip to South Africa, we're going in October. We had taken two suitcases. One, you'll have your personal stuff in. The other one, you're going to have a whole bunch of clothes for orphans. And when you get over there, we're going to give the orphans all the clothes, and then you put your souvenirs in the empty bag and bring them back home. That's our system. That's how we do it. Amen. Been doing that since 2005. Blessing kids everywhere. Amen. Your ministry. They will give glory to God. So people will look up and say, thank you, Father. So every blessing you will ever receive is going to come through the hands of someone else. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. For your what? For your scarcity? For your stinginess? For your fear? For your like, I ain't giving Pastor Tony nothing? He get on my nerves anyway, always talking about emotional hole into. Leave me alone. He don't know my heart. I'm sorry, Sister Carol. I'm sorry, Sister Carol. Verse 14, and they would pray for you with deep affection. They're going to pray for us. You ever wonder why churches want to come up under me and Jackie? And we've never given finances. We've helped Daniel with his rent down in Brazil, and we've helped the church in the Philippines with their some of their bills and youth and all that kind of stuff. But generally, it's our heart. It's our heart. And people want to pray. Do you want people praying for you with deep affection? How many right now, believe, actually, don't just look at me. How many can say that somebody right now somewhere is praying for you with deep affection? And I ain't talking about your mama. But when you begin to give, that's what happens. Verse 14, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given you. Thank God for this gift, your gift of giving. Too wonderful for words. Amen. Elder Kelvin, let's close with an offering right now. Can you come and get ready to receive the offering? Pastor Todd, can you come up? And I want to pray over the word that just went forth. Amen. So praise team, come forth. The rest of you bow your heads, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the word that just went forth. I thank you, Heavenly Father. We will allow you to heal.